When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, it's Tony Robbins.
Hey guys, I'm Audrina Patrick.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
You're on the Hollywood Raw podcast.
You're watching Hollywood Raw.
You're listening to and watching Hollywood Raw.
This is the Hollywood Raw podcast, hosted by entertainment veteran Dax Holt and street journalist Adam Glynn. The podcast humanizing Hollywood. From celebrities to media moguls, even paparazzi and bodyguards have come to break news, break their silence, or just have a great conversation on Hollywood Raw. If they are on Hollywood Raw, there's a reason. From Page Six to TMZ, Daily Mail, and People Magazine, everyone is talking about the Hollywood Raw podcast with Dax Holt and Adam Glynn.
Welcome to the Hollywood Raw podcast. My name is Adam Glynn on the East Coast, on the West Coast, the better coast, because they have good weather and good Mexican food. Dax Holt, how are you?
Good. How about you, bud?
Good. You like the How often do you eat Mexican now in California?
Oh, God. I love Mexican food. Like, love it. I would say at my house, we generally make some form of Mexican food once, twice a week, whether it's like tostadas, burritos, whatever. Not that burritos are necessarily that Mexican. You can't really find burritos in Mexico that much. It's more tacos than anything. We do a lot of fish tacos. We do a lot of stuff. Love Mexican food.
Yeah, over here, it's a lot of where I grew up especially. It's just Italian food, but it's all sort of like the same. It's not like, oh my God, New Jersey has the best Italian food. New York has the best Italian food. I mean, there's good Italian food everywhere. I mean, there's some places that make it a little bit better than others. Dax, can I say this? Can I tell you something? Do you know we made history this week?
You and I?
Yes, this podcast, the Hollywood Raw podcast. We made history. We're the first entertainment news podcast to ban Jerry O'Connell. Jerry O'Connell is banned from the podcast. I'm excited to guys share the news.
He's not coming on. He is it's done. It's official. Banned. Jerry O'Connell, you are banned from the Hollywood Raw podcast.
I feel good. I feel happy to say this. Why is he banned? How is he banned? How? Because Dax and I said so. Why? We've reached out to this guy to come on the podcast so many times to come on the podcast. We went through, like, I DM'd him. I went through, like, the right channels. Every single channel to kind of get in touch with this guy. And he's been on so many other podcasts, a lot of them that honestly, they don't have as big as audience as we do. And I don't say this in a weird way. I'm just like, dude, like, just come on our podcast. Like, we're fans. Well, we were fans of him. And we officially said, no, we're done. He's banned from the podcast. We don't need you, Jerry O'Connell. We don't need you. Why? Because today we got a good podcast. We have the host of Entertainment Tonight, longtime host Kevin Frazier on today's podcast. He also has a new podcast himself called Alternate Routes with Trey Wingo, which we're going to tell you about. It's an unbelievable concept. He's just a really cool, unique guy. I'm excited to talk to Kev. I saw him in Vegas at the red carpet of Shaquille O'Neal's party, and he was like, we're just like hanging out in Vegas. And I actually wanted to ask him, I got to ask him something off. I can't ask him on the camera about Vegas, but nothing bad. But he's just a good guy. He's one of those guys I see it all the time on the red carpet. He always has the good position where I'm on the back of the red carpet. I'm at the end of the red carpet, or I'm standing across the street because security does not want me anywhere near what's going on. They're like, hey, you need to stand 150 feet away. But Kevin's always like the first person on the red carpet because he works on a great show, Entertainment Tonight. And also he's good at what he does. He's been doing it for a long time. He has relationships with these celebrities. So I want to ask him about his relationships with these celebrities and how do you get a job like that? Because it's probably one of the most in-demand jobs in Hollywood. It's one of the coolest jobs in Hollywood.
Most sought after job.
Oh yeah. Oh man. Everybody wants that job. Not just like TV hosts, reporters, celebrities are now coming back looking for that job, because it's such an in-demand job. So I want to talk to them. I want to talk to him about that. Before we get to Kevin, we get reviews. We always get them, but we always want more. If you actually leave a review, We actually read your review live on air. It's a way to us to give you a shout out, and it's the best thing to do to support this podcast. Dax, do you have a review ready for us?
Of course, bro. That's what I'm here for. All right, this one comes from Breeb714, 5 stars. Melissa Rivers and the BravoCon recap was so much fun. I appreciate the guys that make sure that they have quality guests when Dax and Adam are MIA. I wait every Thursday, and this is my gossip podcast. Hell yeah. That was a fun podcast. Melissa was awesome. That was a fun... Listen, Adam... You are a hard person to replace. So having Melissa fill your shoes for a day, I felt like that was a pretty substantial guest host for you, right?
Yeah. Listen, you filled me in with good shoes. Sometimes I'm moving, I'm running around, so I'm not able to do the podcast at all times. I got to chase these celebrities. Like actually the Raw Rundown recently, I couldn't be there because I had to interview Charles Barkley, name drop. But and you gotta pick up the weight, so that's what it is. But guys, I appreciate the reviews. We honestly, it means a lot to us,
yeah.
And it really helps us out. And if you already left us a review, do it again. Find a way. Take your friend's phone. Do it again. Say a few funny words. Say Dax has nice hair. Say Adam, you
has
should
funny looking nipples. I don't know something.
Say Adam has funny looking nipples, which is nothing new to me. I get it all the time. Say it. I do not care. Just leave us a review. On to today's podcast, Dax. Tell us about our guest today.
Our guest today is the creator of Hip Hollywood, longtime host of Entertainment Tonight, host of Alternate Routes, Kevin Motherfrickin' Frazier, guys. Kevin Frazier, welcome, buddy.
Kevin, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Three of us, we've been in the entertainment news industry for a long time. For
yes.
you've done so much stuff in your broadcasting career. Do people come up to you and think that you know everything that goes on in entertainment news? Like you're an entertainment news historian and it's kind of gets weird at times?
Well, it's very funny because when I was at ESPN and I was there until 2004, everybody thought I knew sports. So when I'd go to anything, all the men would huddle around and ask me sports questions. And then when I went to Entertainment Tonight, I would go to a party and all the men would be like, "You good, man? You okay?" And all the women would say, "Oh my God, we got to talk about this and that and this." And so it's been a very interesting transition of going from one hardcore group to another.
And I'm actually really impressed with that because to have the knowledge base to do one of those categories, it has to be a pretty deep knowledge base. So for you to be able to do that in sports and then also do it in entertainment, that's pretty remarkable.
Well, what you learn very quickly is they are kind of two different disciplines, but there are similarities. In sports, you go into a locker room and guys have to answer the question, or ladies have to answer the question after a game, no matter what. You get on a red carpet and someone does not want to talk about why their last movie sucked, why they got a DUI, why their wife left them. But if you're in a locker room and you're like, "Hey, man, you played terrible tonight. Oh, but is there something wrong? Is something going wrong at home?" And then they have to answer the question. So that was the first adjustment because people really, they were like, whoa, we're not talking about that. We're here to talk about the movie, or we're here to talk about the TV show, or we're here to talk about the song. And I was like, yeah, but you just made big news doing X, Y, and Z. So that was kind of the interesting transition and the difference between the two. And also in sports, it's numbers. So-and-so is batting this. So-and-so is shooting this. They won, they lost, whereas this is a little more kind of nuanced, and you have to understand the nuances of what you do. And I'm sure you guys understand this, that a lot of times you have to understand how to ask those questions to get the answers you want.
I was just going to say,
Adam, because, you opened it by saying, we've all been in this entertainment industry for a long time and we've kind of worked in the same circles. And I'm realizing the real big difference between us and Kevin is that we don't have those awesome gold statues sitting on our cabinet behind us like he does. And you're just sitting here taunting us with your Emmys while we have nothing on our shelves.
No one ever believes this, but it's dead true. I got the first one and I put it out on the mantle in the fireplace. And my wife, who is has been a federal public defender, and then she had her own law firm, and now she runs the Trone Center for Racial Justice at the ACLU. She is well, she is a very accomplished woman. And she was like, that's not going out here. And I was like, what do you mean? It's Cincinnati. And she's like, oh, hell no. You can put that in your office. And so we built a shelf across from me. And I was like, great. I'll put all the Emmys on the shelf. And when we went to put the first one up there, the shelf was too small. So they got
Oh,
it is a total fluke that I get to taunt to you. It's a total fluke that I get to taunt you with these Emmys. See, but I do love these ladies. I do love them.
They're See, Kevin, you understand, at TMZ, we were just not, we got nominated. You probably won that year, but we got nominated. So we get a piece of paper, which I framed my paper. Dex,
mine's
did you
right
frame
there.
Yours?
See?
Okay.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah. It's so I framed
saying loser every day to me, Kevin, while you actually took home the statue.
I want to show you something. I want to show you something.
Okay.
This is the one that really counts.
Is it a local Emmy?
A local reporter in Cincinnati, Ohio. I was a sports reporter, and it was for, in 1994, the Gridiron Gurus, a little football thing we did in Cincinnati, Ohio.
That's awesome,
That's my
dude.
Baby.
But here's my question for you, is when you get an Emmy, do you have to pay for the actual statue?
Yes, you do.
You, say, you do have to pay. So how much is the actual statue around, do you know?
I believe the actual statue is like $500-$600. It's not cheap. It's not cheap. I mean, it's the
it's
real
It's a heavy, heavy statue too.
It's heavy and it's big and it's very, very cool. It's listen, being acknowledged is incredible. Winning is incredible. And I think one day my children can take those, you know, and they can do whatever, you know, whatever they want, but it's really, it's more just about the moment and the honor and the work, you know, it's about the work. You know that the stuff you guys have had to do in situations to get
Without
a story.
The recognition.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think I get an Emmy for looking for Amanda Bynes' bong that she threw out the window at the New York Police Department. That stuff they're not giving me Emmys for, but you've had an interesting career. Obviously, you came up in sports and you kind of transitioned to entertainment news, but you still do sports. You kind of do it all. How did you eventually get the job, first off, at Entertainment Tonight? Like, what's the – how does that process work? Do you audition? How many auditions do you have to go for? How does that work?
So I'm working at ESPN. I was doing MBA and Sports Center, and every, you know, it's like that's the dream job, right? You're at ESPN. But I came to ESPN from – California. So going to Bristol, Connecticut from LA is a hard transition. All of a sudden you're like, whoa, whoa, there's a thing called winter and it is kicking my ass. And so I was, I'm there at ESPN and I realized, you know, after a few months that I'm like, I love sports. These are the people that worship sports. And so a lot of days where they're watching, you know, they're watching the Milwaukee Brewers against, you know, the Houston Astros. I'm watching an entertainment show. And so because I love pop culture. So anyway, my agent calls me and he says, hey, if you're going out to the All-Star game in LA, they want you to stop by Entertainment Tonight and just, you know, read a few lines. And I was like, all right, it's cool. I went there. I said hello to everybody. I was like, this is cool. This is nice. I didn't think anything else of it. I just was like, this was cool. This was nice. Great thing to do while I was out at the All-Star game. About 3 weeks later, I got a call and they're like, hey, we want to meet you in New York City. And the legendary Linda Bell Blue had a meeting with her and they said, hey, we want to make you the weekend anchor of Entertainment Tonight. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. And so we talked for a little while, you know, had a sat with a table of executives in Jean George in the Trump Tower. And they, you know, they say, hey, blah, 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 blah. And I'm you know, I listen to it all and then I leave because I'm going to Vegas to cover something for ESPN. And as I'm walking out, I had my suitcase behind the front desk and I got the suitcase and I was walking down to call a taxi cab and Linda Bell Blue came out to me and she said, where are you going? And I was like, to the airport. And she's like, if you worked for me, you'd never ride in a taxi cab again. And I was I was like, wow. You had me at hello, amenities. Life is all about amenities. And so that was that. And then I said, hey, I'm leaving ESPN. And it's very interesting because when I told ESPN I was leaving, they were like, well, why don't you go to Hollywood and do ESPN Hollywood instead of going to Entertainment Tonight? And I was like, those are two different sample sizes, boys and girls. Entertainment Tonight and ESPN Hollywood. I love ESPN. But
hey, Kevin, have you rode in a taxi since then?
I have not on company. And look, that was 2004. It's crazy. I mean, I've taken a taxi, but it was pretty. I mean, I walked out of there 50-50 and she hit me and I was like, yo, okay.
That's so sick.
I feel you.
Like that, what an amazing offer. And to feel like, man, they really want me. That's got to feel pretty cool. What's an average day look like for you? Like, what time are you getting up in the morning? What time are you heading to set? Like, what time does ET start taping? Like, I want to know what your day is like.
Sure. 6:15, get up, start reading a little bit. 7 a.m. morning meeting, do some, we have to do CBS radio stuff. I do that at 8 a.m. Then I head in and then we tape around 11 o'clock. After that, whatever interviews, you know, because usually we'll have something at night, or if you're traveling, you're out and on the road, you know, while you're traveling, that can happen also. So It just depends on whether you got to get to the airport, where you have to go, what you have to do. There's all that stuff that happens each and every day. So the interesting thing about this job is, you both understand and know this. It changes so drastically from day to day. You go into work and you think you're doing one thing and you think you're going to be home at this hour and you end up at a much different time in a different place in a different part of the world. And so that is the kind of cool thing about the job and also the crazy part of the job. No day is like the other.
It makes sense. Like, so you don't have a consistent gym time because it's whenever you get kind of squeezing in.
No.
Depends on the celebrity's schedule as well. Premieres as well. So it kind of all goes back and forth. When it comes to clothing, for example, do you have to buy your own clothing or do they kind of give you
clothing? We have a wardrobe department, which is amazing. Shout out to them. It's kind of a weird thing to be a dude who hasn't bought clothes in a long time because that's part of, you know, your job and your gig.
But you don't get to take them home though, right? You have to buy work. You have to buy clothes for your normal daily life, right? Or do you get to take that stuff home?
I mean, I buy normal daily clothes because I want to wear sweats all the time. I want to wear sweats. I mean, if it's up to me, I want to wear sweats. But, you know, it's funny you mentioned you never have a consistent gym time or anything like that. That's where I send a shout out to my wife because she has had to deal with those crazy calls, you know, mid-morning saying, hey, I'm on my way to Tokyo. And she's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I know it's 9:30 and I have a 1 a.m. flight to Tokyo. And when are you coming back? I don't know. It just depends. Brad Pitt just got a divorce from Jennifer Aniston. So I could be stuck there for a while. And it's those kind of days that are unbelievable, you know? And those kind of days where you're like, I start in New Orleans, I end up in New York, and I don't know when I'm coming home. So kudos to my wife for dealing with that craziness.
That's crazy. I never had that in any of my years in this entertainment industry. I've done stuff where it's like, go report at Michael Jackson's house where he died. You know what I'm saying? Like local stuff, but never had to go travel around the world. And I can't imagine what that is like.
But
go ahead.
Hold on, but I want to tell you something. Okay, do you remember that day? Do you remember all the news that happened that day? It was you can't explain to people how crazy that day was because when that story broke, when you broke that story, I was over at the in Santa Monica at the hospital where Farrah Fawcett had just passed away.
Yes. Yes.
And so I was standing in the parking lot talking to Ryan O'Neal as he drove out and got in my car. And I was like, wow, what a crazy day. And then all hell broke loose. You literally set the world on fire that day. Do you remember that? I mean, the world exploded when that news came out and they were like, Michael Jackson is dead. And I was like, there's no way. I feel like the angel of death today.
The hours that went on that was like, TMZ is reporting, but no one wanted to jump on. And we're like, no, guys, it's true. No one wanted to touch the story for hours and hours. And I remember, going out to his house and being on like HLN, CNN, like everyone was at his house. I don't know if you were at his house outside
Carolina's
house that night.
I remember that. I remember now. Listen, it all comes back in waves because, you know, things just blur into each other.
Yep.
But yes, I remember the hell you unleashed on the world. I remember that.
What a wild day.
And you can't really explain to people what it's like to be in the center of a story that's that big. Like, like you're there and it's that everybody in the world is watching you right now to get this information. And that's what's really cool about that moment. And it had to be cool for you.
So I have a question for you, because I remember going on, I want to say it was Fox New York, and literally that was the moment that the news broke. Like, we posted it and I was doing a live shot with Fox New York, and the publicist came up behind camera and said, "You can say it." And I remember being very nervous, like this rush of like, I'm about to tell thousands and thousands of people watching this right now that Michael Jackson's dead. Do you ever get nervous doing your job? Do you get nervous going out onto set on a daily basis? Do you get nervous doing a live shot? What is your nerve level like at this point?
I think that I love the adrenaline so much of those moments. Like, you were racing off of adrenaline, right? And I love that moment so much of when you get that scoop and you tell the story and it's like, world, I'm going to unleash something on you that's going to blow your mind. And so it's an adrenaline rush, and you should have some nerves. Everybody, and I try to tell people this all the time, you should be a little nervous. It should be that good and that fresh and that fun to you that you have nerves and you don't want to mess up and you want to get it right. And, you know, I worked in small market TV where I've really messed up before, where I've really just blown, you know, blown a newscast up. So you should always have those nerves. And to this day, you still get a little, like, you get butterflies, you get nerves, you get, it gets weird. Like, I think back to Heath Ledger when he first passed away.
Yeah.
And being in New York, and I was in New York for something else, and they were like, "You've got to go right now. Heath Ledger just died." And CNN stops. They said, "Stop on this corner and talk to CNN." And I was just like, whoa, this is a little nerve wracking. What's going on? And it was that rush, that moment. It's incredible when you are around for a major news breaking moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when you're covering the Oscars and you've done that, you know, you've done award shows like that for years, do you still get excited for that? Is there still like, do you watch all the movies before? And, you know, obviously there's a lot of pressure. You have 45 seconds, let's say, with Brad Pitt. And the network, the outlet, the network, they're all relying on you. You can't screw up this interview. We need to get these questions in. And obviously you're trying to squeeze in as much as possible as you can, because you only have so much time with, and you don't know how much time you're going to get with them. How are you feeling in those type of situations? Are you still nervous, or is it just the adrenaline that really takes over? You're just kind of, the excitement kind of takes over.
It's the adrenaline a little bit, and you don't always get it right. And you have to kind of reconcile with yourself that there will be times where you don't get exactly what you needed or exactly what's perfect. And you have to be okay with that. You win some, you lose a lot, and you have to just, you know, be ready for the moment. When you're prepared, and that's the big thing I always say to people when they're like, "Oh, I'm just going to go to red carpet and talk." No, you guys know this. When that second hits, when that person is going by, even if you get a chance to shout something at them, it better be the right thing to shout at them to elicit that response. So they turn. And when I say shout, even if it's just like, "How's the baby?" or, you know, "You're married. Wow." And, you know, those moments matter because they'll turn around and acknowledge you. So I think that, like, something like the Oscars, what is fun for me is that it's seeing the experience for people. It's their time. It's their moment. And so there are people who've worked all their lives, and here they are on the carpet. And whether it's someone like the person who is doing the wardrobe, or whether it is the person who is the director or the cinematographer, every year there are stories, if you really do your homework, to each one of these people that is fascinating. And that even if it doesn't make the show, it's a great conversation that you get to have with them. And so I love those moments where you get to acknowledge the work they've done and you say, "Look, I have done my homework. I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you that." And it's also kind of wild to watch people, how the stars, when they don't want to talk, how they walk down the carpet and they clearly hear you calling their name. They clearly hear you. And you're like, "Hey, Charlize, I know you hear me." And I'm just throwing a name out there. I'm not saying anyone. But, and they act like they're on their phone, or they're looking the other way, or they're doing something else. And then 10 minutes later, you'll see them and they'll be like, "Kev, what's going on? I know you heard me. I know you heard me. I know you did."
Well, let me
what
ask
I
this.
Love so is that, because you're normally the first one on the spot on the red carpet. Yeah, like,
you always have the good spot. You have the good location. Yeah. You're in the first spot, second spot, maybe. Well, like, guys, I'm at the end.
for a while, I was doing Insider, so we were usually fifth or sixth. You know, I went from ET to then hosting the Insider, which is our sister show. And so all of a sudden, you go from that first spot to the fifth or sixth spot, which is interesting because in the first spot, you learn the person's mood in the first spot. By the fifth spot, you're like, ooh, they're a little prickly tonight. Let's start with this. Don't make it happen. Or they're a little happy, and you've seen the things that have gone down in front of you. So it's interesting when you're in the first
spot. It's funny because a lot of people don't realize that the hierarchy of a red carpet. They see the moment that the clip that runs on TV, which is Jen Aniston waving or saying hi or giggling for a moment, but there's a lot that goes on behind that where they come to the carpet and it's their publicist who is deciding whether or not they're going to talk to you. And then it goes to normally ET getting like the number one spot. So the first camera crew, the first reporter is right there. And then they do the various shows, go down the line, and then it goes to like everyone else. And that could be, you know, radio shows, could be YouTube show. I mean, it could be whatever all the way down the carpet. But for the most part, it's the first seven slots that the celebrities even talk to before they just kind of peace out.
100%. But the key thing, and it's important that you said this, and I bet, Dax, you would say that 90% of the things that you get and happen is because you're talking to someone associated with that big star, because you have a relationship with a publicist or a manager or someone like that. And that's more of what the red carpet is about, because you determine a lot of that stuff ahead of time. You will have talked to someone. They know. They trust you. They're like, oh, there's Kevin. Okay. Hey, Kev, how are you doing? I'm bringing so-and-so. And that's a very important part of the red carpet. It's not just you go out there and everybody's going to stop and everybody's going to say something to you just because you get that position right there on the red carpet. So I think that's so important that so many people don't understand that Hollywood is built on so many relationships. And then, yes, there's a hierarchy, but like we were at Dr. Dre's, his Hollywood star.
Walk of Fame. Yeah.
On the Walk of Fame, his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday. And they were facing the cameras for the Walk of Fame, but then I knew they were going to turn around and leave and go into the Kimmel studio. So we had to get around to the other side. But it was a concerted effort because Access was next to us and so was Extra, and everybody came over. We all know each other. And I was like, listen, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to form a wall. We're going to block them a little bit so they just can't walk through. They're going to stop and they're going to talk to us. I promise you, we will get them to stop. And it's fine. I mean, we all are in the same gig, you know? And it's like, I'm not trying to do something secret to scoop you or beat you. I mean, let's all do our job and let's get what we need. And I think that's important too.
Did Eminem stop?
Yeah, did Eminem stop?
No, he was the first one out. That dude, he got out. He literally ran, and maybe, I don't know why, but he literally ran. And so then Fitty was right behind him, but I kind of grabbed Fitty's arm and was like, hey. And he stopped the talk and, you know, and he was great.
So,
and then Dre and everybody else.
You have an interesting position because overall, we both know you're a good guy. You know you're a good guy. But doing what you do, sometimes you have to talk about topics that the celebrities aren't really fond of. Sometimes there's news stories of their personal life that they don't want out there. But due to your job, you have to address it. I think, I mean, Dax and I have talked about this before. Sometimes we struggle with that because we try to be good people. Then you have to sometimes talk about the air out dirty laundry or stuff that's going on there. And it's just part of the job. How do you handle that situation? Because you see celebrities and you all have to have a good relationship with them. But then, you know, you have to sometimes talk a little shit about them. Unfortunately, some talk about a story that they don't want out there, but it's in the news, in the entertainment news world. So how do you kind of handle that balance of like, and keep those relationships with these people?
I think that, well, number one, you have to say, hey, and call them and say, listen, here's what's up. If you want to come and talk, let's talk about it. But this is my job and this is what I do. And I'm going to report this thing that happened. Okay. And also, I mean, it's just sometimes you never know how people are going to react that you're cool with. Way back in the day when I was at Fox Sports, I played in this thing called the NBA Entertainment League. And on my team was Breckenmeyer, Ashton Kutcher, Scott Speedman, all these guys. And I was cool with them because I played basketball with them. I didn't really, you know, think about who they were as far as entertainers. And I always had a good relationship with Ashton. I was like, yeah, there's this guy on my team named Ashton. I think he's on some show because I was a sports guy. So when I come back and I'm doing E.T., and I remember it was the junket for the movie A Lot Like Love, and it was him and Amanda Peet, and we sit down, and I ask him about how Demi was doing, and he went off in the junket on. I mean, he was like, I can't believe you would do that of all the people, that you would ask me that question, la, la, la. And I'm like, bro, I'm just doing my job. That's it. I was just doing my job, and I'm going to ask that question. Then in comes his publicist, who is now my neighbor and a good friend. He's yelling at me, and we're in the Four Seasons in the hallway screaming at each other. I mean, we're dropping F-bombs. He's like, you'll never interview him again. I was like, I don't care. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. We're screaming. And I'm like, damn, that was crazy. And so it's over. I tell my boss, I'm thinking I'm going to go back, and I'm going to get in a ton of trouble. And she's like, that movie's dead to me. And I'm like, what? Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so about 3 weeks later, I'm at the Super Bowl, and I get off an elevator, and I'm walking, and somebody jumps on my back and tackles me. And it's Ashton. He's like, yo, what's up, Kev? Yo, you going to watch the game? It's the Bears playing in the Super Bowl. He's on a hype. He's so happy. And I'm just like, dog, I really wanted to kill you. Like that day, you incited some stuff that I was like, it's going to be mano a mano in the Four Seasons, and I'm going to get arrested because you jumped in my grill. And so those moments, I think they come and they go, and you have those moments, and you hope that everybody, you know, it's like, hey, we got to all do our jobs, because you know, when you have something to promote, I'll be there for you with a smile on, and I'll promote the hell out of your movie. And by the way, the funny part of it was that my son went to elementary school with Amanda Peet's daughter. And so I was for a while so nervous around her. Like I felt so embarrassed every time I saw her at PTA meetings or anything. And I finally just approached her, and I was like, you know, Amanda, I'm so sorry for that day at that junket. And she's like, what? What are you talking about? And I was like, at A Lot Like Love, when that, she's like, I don't know. I don't even remember that. And I was like, I've spent the last 3 years like avoiding you at school stuff, like walking away from you because I felt like hell, because I thought you wanted to kill me. And, you know, you were good. You were all good.
I think that they go through so many interviews and meet so many people at a point. It's like it all becomes a blur to these big celebs.
Yes. Yes.
I wanted to ask you, though. Who, like, when you're doing red carpets and you see the lineup of who's going to be there, or even the Oscars, who is the celebrity that you are most excited about seeing on a pretty regular basis, whether it's every year at the Oscars, someone that just gives such good interviews that you're like, here they come?
You know what's funny? Whenever Brad Pitt's around, he always stops. And I love talking to him because he says things, we're the exact same age, and he says things that are really, I mean, for our age, what we're going through. Like I saw, you know, at the Golden Globes 2 years ago, two years ago. And then Brad, Brad comes up and he's just like, man, I'm just so tired. I'm getting up to pee like three times a night. And I was like, yeah, I know that story. it's never ending. And, you know, and so I enjoy that so much. And I think it's because years ago, we had this moment in New Orleans, and I bet you remember when he built those houses down in New Orleans. Yep. after Katrina, and it was so cool because he was literally in the neighborhood with the folks. And I'll never forget that I was interviewing a man there, and he lost his house, older man. He lost his house, but he would still come and park in front of the house each and every day. And I went to interview him, and I was talking to him, and he started talking about losing his house and what it was like and how hard it's been dealing with FEMA. And he said, you know, the only person that's been here every day is Brad Pitt. He's helped me every day. He helped me fill out my paperwork. And I'm like, this is crazy. And as he was saying it to me, these tears were running down his face from under his sunglasses. And I was so moved by the moment because I was like, this dude is at the height of his superpowers, and he's coming in the hood each and every day, and he's sitting there helping people fill out FEMA paperwork. And it just changed the way I respected him forever after that, because I knew what it meant for that man who literally was sitting in front of his house that was gone, and he just sat there every single day, just sitting out in front of his house. It was wild.
Such a good story.
Yeah, how often are celebrities reaching out to you personally to get something on ET? Rather than go through the publicist, do the celebrities already reach out to you personally and say, hey, can you help me out? I got this project, I got this charity, I got this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
How does that kind of process go down?
Somebody will call you and they'll say, hey, you know, I have this, blah, 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 blah. Will you, you know, we really hope to get some coverage. Would you, you know, do it? And it's like, of course. I mean, listen, this is a business of trades. You know what I mean? It's like, we know that one day there'll be something that I need from you and you need something from me. And that's, this is, I mean, I work at the QVC of entertainment. We go on every day and we sell things to people out there. And so you have to just be realistic and say, yes. If, and sometimes, if it's not the publicist, it's the manager who'll call you, you know, or they'll see you, they'll bump into you at a soccer game. Like I saw Cedric the Entertainer. He is the neighborhood is right next to us. And I was talking to Cedric about something and he's like, oh, I'm going to do a special screening. And then we're going to talk about my barbecue sauce. And would you come and you'll host that for me and we'll put it on ET. And I was like, yeah, of course, Ed. I mean, whatever. I mean, I come and eat y'all's food all the time. So hell yeah. But that's the kind of thing that's cool, you know? And those are the kind of moments, you know, like the Braxton sisters came on The Insider one time and, you know, and later Tony called me about something for her album. And at the same time, when she was in Baltimore, my brother really wanted to see Toni Braxton. And I was like, Tony, can you get him tickets? And she was like, have him come backstage and hang out with me. And so, you know, there's my brother and his wife and all them hanging with Toni Braxton. They're like, this is crazy. But those are the kind of cool things that we're all regular folks. And to have these relationships, it's cool. I mean, let's help them make money. Let's make money. Let's all live a good life. Like you guys, you work your asses off. You've worked your asses off to do things. And it's not that you hate people. You just want to be successful in what you do.
Well, so, you know, you mentioned these people and it kind of sounds like you live in a cool neighborhood. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, man, I want to walk my dog in your neighborhood. But who's like the one person in your phone, the coolest person that you have in your phone, the one that you'd probably never even call, but like, dude, you know whose number I have? This is pretty awesome.
I mean,
you know, that means there's someone good. It's like Kevin told him now. He thought of the person and he's like, do I say this out loud?
But I know because you know it's look, let me say this, okay? It is very weird to me still to this day. Like yesterday when Dre was walking towards me, he was like, hey Kevin, how you doing? And I'm like, you're Dr. Dre. How the hell are you greeting me? You know, and it's those weird moments like that when you realize you've worked in this business so long that you've gotten to know folks. And so it becomes really, it's just, it's weird. And it's, you know, and I don't know how to explain it when, you know, you as a kid, and you probably had this, you as a kid, like here's a great example. I'm in high school and I'm like, man, I'll tell you what, if I ever meet Paula Abdul, good God. Or when I was in college, I was like, man, Nia Long, if I ever see Nia Long, woo, cha, woo. And then you're sitting there with that person. Then you're walking, having a conversation with them. Then you're standing somewhere just chilling with them. And you're like, this is so crazy, surreal, and it's wacky, and I wish I could call me in high school or me in college and say, dude, don't worry, you'll be chilling with them. And you'll literally get to hang with them. It's the most bizarre thing ever. And it's
But instead of calling yourself, you open the phone and you go, oh my God, I've got who's Oprah's phone number, Kevin?
I mean, that is one that you look at and you're like,
wait, who did you who's your number? You got Oprah's number?
Kev?
Yeah, he's got a. What are you saying? He's got a bat line to her, at least.
Let me say this about Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey. I grew up in Baltimore, and in the 80s, when she was doing local news, they held this big campaign for what's an Oprah, because they had this lady coming in named Oprah Winfrey, and she did the news, and she did a show called People Are Talking, and before she moved to Chicago, so. I got to watch her in Baltimore as she was becoming Oprah. And then we got to watch her do her thing. And the thing about that's funny about Oprah is when you're around her, she's a very normal person. Like you're at Oprah's house and you're like, you're at Oprah's house. There's Oprah. Oh my God. I'll tell you the weirdest one. This is the best story. I went to the NAACP Image Awards in 2005 when I had just gotten here. And afterwards, Anthony Anderson came up to me and he was like, "Hey, you going to the party?" And I'm like, "What party?" And he's like, "The party, man. You know, the party." And I'm like, "No, seriously, what party?" And he's like, "The party at Prince's house." And I was like, "A party at Prince's house?" And he's like, "Yeah." So I'm like, "That's wild. Where is it?" He gives me the address. So I'm like, "Okay." And so I say to my wife, who was then my girlfriend, I was like, "Well, shit, let's just try and go out there. What the hell? Let's just go out there and see what's happening. Maybe there's a line. We get in the line. Maybe we get in." And drive up. And my wife is from, by the way, Minnesota. So this is big. And we pull up and the guy at the gate says, "Oh, dude from SportsCenter, come on in and let us go inside." And we go in to Prince's house. And it's mind blowing because you're looking around at all the different stars there. I'm still new to ET and I'm like, "Oh my God." And here walks in Prince. My wife, meanwhile, is in the kitchen stealing M&Ms with the sign on them. She's stealing them, putting her purse to show her friends. And I'm just like, "Oh my God, this is crazy." And you get to meet and talk to Prince and got to form a friendship with Prince, which was the most bizarre
thing
ever. He was so cool and so great. And, you know, it's like, "Where are you going?" "We're going to dinner at Prince's house." How do you say that and not sound a little bit like an ass for throwing that one out there? You know
what's so funny?
Really cool.
I think you are the third person that has told us a Prince story at his house. Like, I think it goes down, anyone who has gone to his house or been into his party, as their most memorable moment of running into a celeb in their life. Like, we're like, "What is the greatest moment of a celeb story?" And literally it's Prince for a lot of people. That's so awesome.
Because it's so incredible. And then in these parties, in his house parties, he would literally play. And like, it was very cool. He had the guys from Maroon 5 there one night. And the guitarist from Maroon 5 was playing along with Prince. And he was just like, "I need to go learn how to play the guitar." Because Prince would have a mariachi band. He would play all kinds of songs. He would call out different stuff. He would just like, he'd go off and he just enjoyed it each and every night, playing songs and testing different musicians. And so you're in there and you're like, "Oh my God, I'm sitting here. There's 15 of us and Prince is just playing for 2 hours." And then, you know, it's crazy, man. It's just crazy. I mean, it's just, you lose your
mind. That sounds unbelievable.
Let me ask you this. Because you've been in the industry for so long, mm-hmm. and I know this is a weird question, but are you a little bit jaded, or are you still, do you have like the kid in you where, like, what excites you now? Like, you go to Prince, how do you kind of top that? I don't know what topped that. I mean, I saw you at Shaq's party in Vegas, and I thought it was really cool. You were hanging out with Shaq. And for me, like, you know Shaq, I know Shaq. And for me, for my generation, that's crazy that I have a relationship with Shaquille O'Neal.
Right.
And now, but you've done a lot cooler things. What excites you now? Like, since you've met all these people, what's the last thing that kind of
It is a, I don't goosebumps. Know whether I have some kind of weird sickness or a problem, but I still love it. And I love the hunt and to get the story. And I think maybe I have some kind of problem. Like, I'm at the Super Bowl and everybody's watching the game. And I'm like, I'm right here parked outside of Taylor Swift's suite because I'm going to get that sound bite when she comes out. And she did, you know, say hello, you know, you get the obligatory wave, but that's okay. But we talked to lots of people going in and out and it was fun. And it's like the hunt, the chase, the winning of it all. Still, I still love it. And it's weird. I mean, I'm like, "Damn, you're too old for this shit," but I still love it. I'm like, "Oh my God, I gotta get it. I gotta win. We've gotta get this soundbite or that thing, or we gotta be here, we gotta do that." And so it's a weird like chase that I love. I love it. I love it.
You mentioned junkets before, you know, actually I was supposed to do a junk. No, I wasn't supposed to. I applied for a junket on Monday and got rejected like usual.
Which junket?
But I'm curious. It was the Roadhouse one, the Conor McGregor one and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Yeah,
they rejected me. The publicist of Connor hates me. Like, she hates me. But what I do, I get the interviews on the streets, and I interview Connor like a week before the junket. So the news of him saying there's big news at the premiere saying that he was going to fight this summer. I got that soundbite a week ago when he said he was going to fight in June. So it's fine. I do my thing, and I go around the publicists. But are junkets still like, what's the vibe like with junkets? Like, how much time do you get with the celebrities? Are you only allowed to ask about the movie? What's like the unwritten rules with them?
I think that it's how comfortable people feel with you. Like, when you walk in the room, you can gauge already. And if it's just, you know, if it's somebody from a small market TV station, they're just like, we got the answers already for you. And then if it's somebody who has a little bit of a relationship, they know you followed them. You're pushing their movie. They've heard the things that you've said about the movie. Then they're like, okay, let's talk. I'll give you something extra. I know I need to get something extra. And by the way, what you guys do is so hard. People don't understand it, because you stand and you wait for hours, or, you know, and then all of a sudden it happens in the blink of an eye, and your brain has to boot so fast that you get up to speed. Here comes the person, you have to hit it, and you get that little narrow window, and you have to win in that window. And if you win in that window, people don't understand how hard it is, because they think that, like, you know, you know when that person's coming out that door. And I also want to say that when you guys started to, like, when TMZ first came out and it shook up the industry, it really messed everybody up. It did. And you guys broke a bunch of stories, and everybody was all kooky because they're like, how are these guys doing it? What are they doing? We used to say, listen, they're on the outside, we're on the inside. We'll see you on the inside. You don't, if you want to deal with them on the outside, you deal with them on the outside, but we're on the inside. And it was just a little hateration, because we got our ass kicked and handed to us for a while, because nobody expected this thing to explode like it did. And so we were like, what is going on? It's just it's one of those moments. And like, the history of journalism that just broke everything.
Yeah, but you know what? Like you said, you're on the red carpet. You have to work alongside the shows, like the extras, the Access Hollywoods. Sure. How is it competitive with you guys, or do you just work? You all just work. Like, what's the vibe like there?
I mean, we all know each other, and we all have watched each other grow. And like, yes, there are competitive moments when there is something, you know, you're trying to get exclusively. But when you're on the Oscars red carpet, I was standing between Mario and Kit on one side, and then Billy Bush was on the other side, and we were all yucking it up. And Mario brought his tequila, and he was, you know, knocking down drinks out of his flask. He just sent me a bunch of bottles the other day, because I was like, dude, how many times do I have to ask you for this damn tequila? So he got his little plug in. But, you know, we're all just talking, having fun. You know, I see him at the soccer games all the time. I mean, I've known Kit since ESPN. I know Billy forever. So everybody, we know each other. And it's like, look, there are hard things going on in life. The world is a messed up place. So you're 2 inches away from me. I hear every damn thing you're saying. You hear everything I'm saying, and we're going to get what we get, and it's going to be what it's going to be. And so in those cases, no, there's no, there's no rivalry. Now, if it's, we're someplace out and about and we're trying to get something, you know, and there's no red carpet set up, then it gets a little competitive. It can get a little competitive.
So we've talked a lot about your entertainment life, but you also have a podcast life. Start up this podcast called Alternate Routes with Trey Wingo, and you guys, it's really just a fun, interesting concept where you're basically saying, what if this event didn't take place or did take place in sports history? Whether it was, you know, what if the NBA never vetoed Chris Paul's trade to the Lakers?
Sure. Like,
and let's break it down. How did this start up? How did you team up with Trey? Like, where did this evolve from? Because I love the concept.
So Trey, I mean, I've known Trey since I was before I went to ESPN, because when I worked at Fox Sports, you know, you get to know everybody. And Stuart Scott was one of my very, very, very good friends. And so I would always hang out with the ESPN group. And then when I went there, then I really got to know Trey. So when the idea came up, because it's from JJ Redick's stable, and they were like, hey, you and Trey would be perfect for this. And I was like, yeah, okay, let's try it. It's stuff we do anyway. We all sit around and we talk, but what if Chris Paul had come to the Lakers? What if Drew Brees was, in Miami and didn't fail that physical and Nick Saban got to stay and the Alabama dynasty didn't happen? There's all these things you get to look at each and every day that we think about as sports fans that we obsess about. You know, I mean, if Michael Jordan doesn't make that shot, I mean, I remember Fred Brown from Georgetown as a high schooler being one of the top players in the country. And to this day, he still can't run away from that moment where he threw the ball to James Worthy and they lost that game. And Georgetown lost to North Carolina because he turned it over. Because in that game, there's a chance that Georgetown scores. And by the way, if Jordan misses that shot, then maybe we're not talking about him as Michael Jordan. He's still Mike Jordan. And everybody acknowledges that James Worthy was serving Patrick Ewing in that game. And James Worthy was the guy. And so there's all these things that, you know, that they have changed the course of history. So it's just fun to get on and talk about with Trey. We have so much fun. I mean, it's because you get to splash pop culture into it. You know, the Kardashians have come up a couple of times with some of these things and, you know, how they would have, you know, their empire might have tumbled or things might not have happened if this sports moment hadn't happened. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's cool because it makes you wonder and it makes you very curious. But then also because you guys have such great knowledge of the sports history, it makes you kind of reflect back on some of these really huge moments in sports. What was the moment in sports for you that was a huge turning point as far as with this podcast about the alternate routes? Was there one that was just the biggest so far of what was like the one where if this happened this way or if that happened that way, that really would have changed?
The thing it's coming up, we haven't done it yet, but it's the Christian Laettner shot against Kentucky. And here's why. Because I loved that Kentucky team. I loved Rick Pitino and the story of him getting these guys who weren't necessarily the top recruits, but he restored the class and elegance of a basketball royalty. And they did it with these guys who wouldn't have been at Kentucky if Kentucky had continued to roll because they weren't high major Division I recruits. And so I loved that group so much. Sean Woods, Richie Farmer, Darren Feldhaus, and one more, but I can't remember right now, and John Pelfrey. And those four, the Unforgettables is what they're called. And there's a banner for them in the rafters because they were the ones who rebuilt Kentucky and turned it into what it is even today because of those four guys. So when that shot went in, what everybody forgets is that Sean Woods had made an incredible running hook over Christian Laettner with like 10 seconds to go. And I was in my living room jumping up and down, celebrating because I was like, these Unforgettables, they've done it. They've slayed the dragon. These guys are amazing. And then that bastard Christian Laettner hits that shot.
How does that happen?
And if Kentucky wasn't as successful basketball team, would Ashley Judd still be a huge fan of them? And then if Ashley Judd wasn't a fan of them, then who would be? Ashley Judd was a huge Kentucky fan, right?
I mean, think about it. She wouldn't work during March Madness. So during those runs in the Pitino years, she was like, I can't work. I'm following the Wildcats.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. Like Ashley Judd's passion for, you know, basketball was a big, big deal.
I've got one for you, Kevin.
Okay, bring it.
And this is going to be a crossover between sports and entertainment. What if?
Let's do it.
What if Bruce Jenner never won Olympic gold?
So
would he have still gone down in history, still been able to pull Kris Jenner to be able to have the beautiful children that they have had together to create the Kardashian dynasty?
Mm-hmm.
What if?
So right off the bat, remember the space and time between when he won that Olympic gold medal and Bruce was running around the track with the American flag and he got on the Wheaties box, because it was later on when Bruce was making money that he ran into Kris, because Kris was still with her husband for a long time. But
yeah, but if he didn't win gold, he would have been whoever.
No. If he didn't win gold, it was still, I believe for a long time, that decathlon was one of the most watched sporting events ever. So let's say he doesn't win gold, but he's still in all the commercials. Because remember, the commercials run no matter what. And later on, we always remember him as Bruce Jenner, the great Olympian. But here's what I say. The Kardashian empire happens no matter what because Kris is the genius. Let's just, let's be real. She is P.T. Barnum reincarnate. So I think that no matter what
okay,
happens,
but here's the thing.
They That's have the dynasty, but it. They
Kevin,
don't
though,
have
Kevin,
it. When they don't
would
have
the
it,
dynasty still be there if there was no Kylie, no Kendall, because Kylie's success has made that empire raise up even more.
But what built the empire? What built the empire?
Kim.
One moment that had nothing to do with Bruce. It had nothing to do with Bruce. So if you really want to thank somebody, thank Ray J, okay?
Thank Ray J. Paris Hilton, who taught Kim everything she needs to know.
Paris Hilton taught her everything, and then there was the tape that was, you know, that everybody
had. Here's a better one. What if the Paris Hilton sex tape never happened? Now think of the ripple effect of that across everything.
I got a better answer for you, because if the sex tape doesn't happen, it's okay, because Paris would have found a will. She had the will in the way. Paris, no matter what, was like, I'm going to be the most famous person in the world. And she did whatever she had to do. The sex tape was just residual. It was like the cherry on the top of the sundae. But Paris built a hell of a resume on her way up. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, that was back when red carpets ruled and she didn't miss a damn red carpet or an event. It was still back when, like, social media hadn't really jumped off. So you still dealt with those pictures and the interviews from the red carpet meant something. You know, it wasn't like everybody was like, okay. No, you had to get there. You had to be photographed. Then somebody had to talk about you, or you had to be in a magazine. Or you had to be on one of those websites. So that's why I think she would have been okay.
Listen, Kevin.
She made sure she was in Wire Image every day.
This is really fun. So when Wondery wants to hit us up to do a alternate route celeb style with you and me and Adam, we're in. All right?
Let's do it. I mean, there are the alternate routes that are so good, and like the deep, deep Hollywood ones that people don't understand that are so important to how mm-hmm. this city works. I mean, if Harvey Weinstein never happens, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say Harvey never happens, then do all those people lose their Oscars? What happens to people's Oscars?
Yeah.
Because no one could sell a campaign and get people awards like Harvey. So what happens?
I mean, the countless Oscars that are under that man's name, like the big, huge, huge famous stars that were created from movies that man touched is wild.
And that's what I'm saying. And like, think about the residual income that was created for people by that man.
Yeah. Ooh. Dude, honestly, this is fun.
Kevin, that's Kevin, that's why I enjoy this conversation with you so much, because we don't get to hear you talk like this often, and I find you fascinating, so interesting, and inspiring in a way, because you have a job that I've been watching you for a long time now, so it's just kind of interesting to hear your perspectives and experiences and this new podcast, which Alternate Routes, which is so, it's, when I heard the concept, I was like, yeah, it's awesome. It's so good. It's such a great idea. So congrats with that, man.
But you know what's funny is that we have all shared so many incredible moments. Like, the stories we have are better than the people who were in the moment, because we were there watching the like mushroom cloud around them. And it's like, we got to go home at the end of it, but we were still right there in the middle of it. Like, we just talked about Paris. I remember being right there when she was arrested, when they yanked her out. I was leaning on the police car, making sure our cameraman got a shot. I mean, all these crazy ass moments. And I remember being there when she got out of jail and her first interview afterwards. And so it's wild. You live all those moments. And then I'm walking through the Miami airport this summer, and I know it's Paris, but nobody else realizes Paris Hilton is walking right in front of you, and she stops, and we walk, and we go have I went and stopped and bought some gummy bears while I was walking with her, but and just chit-chatted about how life is. And it's so crazy. Like, it's like, damn, we've seen some wild stuff happen. And that's the beauty of what we all do, what we all get
through. God, I love it. I love it. Kevin, you're the best. This was a really, really fun chat. Thank you for joining us, man. And make sure you guys check out, obviously, Alternate Routes, the podcast, wherever you download your podcast. And obviously, watch him on Entertainment Tonight. He is the face of Entertainment Tonight. That's who you see when you tune in. So check your local listings for that. Really, really appreciate you taking the time from polishing your Emmys to stop by and talk to us.
The new one just came. I got to go get it and kick it out.
Oh, you son of a bee. Just rubbing it in even more.
See y'all.
Later, bud.
Later, bud.
Later.
Oh, he was fun, man.
Yeah, he was great. Dude, cool guy. I've hung out with him a little bit over the years, and I see him at when he travels up for like different red carpets. Like, we just hang on the red carpet. We're just sitting there waiting for celebrities together. So he's always like a fun hang, good energy, good vibes, and it's just got good stories. I like the people. I like those type of people, man. I like those people that are able to like just have fun with what they're doing, because it's like ridiculous at the end of the day. It's awesome, but it's also ridiculous what we're covering. We're all just covering high school. That's why we love it. It's just high school all over. But he's been doing it for so long. I mean, from ESPN to Entertainment Tonight. I mean, he's just a staple in Hollywood. He's interviewed everyone. Yeah, that's a hard job to keep too. So he does a great job. But thank you guys for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you guys like and subscribe. If you're listening, give us a good review. We like that a lot. You know, follow us on Instagram, TikTok. We have a private Facebook group called Off the Record. You should be in it because we are in it. We have a really great community. Follow me at Adam Glenn. Follow Dax Holt at Dax Holt. I'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A Huda Media Production.